Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Dave Benton, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom Crawford will be back with us for 3 hours next week. Meanwhile, we'll take some of your calls as well. 393-3700, 393-3700. We're in the second half of the baseball season. The All-Star game the other night, do you think it proved anything?
Not really. No, the All-Star, it was boring. It proved that. Honestly, the All-Star game to me, The luster of it being for home field advantage, I think, has worn off a little bit. Yeah. And I think that they either need to change something again or they need to accept that people don't really care about All-Star games. I don't feel like in any sport people really
care
about All-Star games.
Who cares?
No.
It doesn't matter. They just do it. It's a summer diversion. They have to have something that's going to break it up, and I just don't think it's a big deal. It's not the way it used to be.
I don't think it's a big deal in any sport. I think the Pro Bowl is no big deal at all. I think the NBA All-Star weekend is more about the dunk contest and three-point contest than it is about the actual
game. Baseball is more about the home run hitting contest.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are talking about that. Which one did you... Now, Dave, you're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
Jack, I assume you watched at least some of the All-Star game.
I watched the whole thing.
Okay. So did I. But you're talking about home run derby, the NBA All-Star game. You have the skills competition. Out of all of these special exhibitions, which one are you more apt to watch?
I would watch live. I watched the home run derby. I thought that was fascinating when it was here at Comerica Park.
I used to like watching the dunk contest. Not anymore. It's just too... Everything's been done. You know what I mean? There's just no new creative dunks going on. I think the three-point contest is pretty cool. But as far... See, I stopped liking the home run derby actually this year when I started hearing things about how it was messing people's swings up.
We saw that with Bobby Abreu when he won it.
Exactly.
You didn't hear from the guy for a year and a half.
And all of a sudden, people weren't willing to be in the home run derby this year.
And managers are encouraging their players not to be in it, trying to talk them out. Jim Leland was trying to talk Cabrera out of it.
Right. And so when you start putting guys like Brandon Inge in the home run derby, like was the case last year, I stopped really caring as much about the home run derby. But if I were to watch a game, if you're asking me about game.
See, there's a difference between watching it and caring about it. I'll watch a lot of things, but I won't care about them.
Like the World Cup.
I didn't care about that either,
but I
watched it.
That's what I mean.
I mean, I watch a lot of things that are on. I'm going to watch the British Open, but do I care about it? Not really.
No.
The only reason I watched that whole game is because I wanted to see Jose Valverde pitch in the ninth inning because I figured he was the only relief pitcher left, and I knew the American League didn't have much of a chance to come back, but I still wanted to see him. Otherwise, I had no care about it. I mean,
he was worth staying up to watch.
So was Phil Hughes, the way he gave up those two
you
hits
like
and
that?
Two runs in a third of an inning. That was great.
You know, funny story about the
good
All-Star
representation
game.
Of the Yankees.
Earl Robinson and I have had a bet on the All-Star game every year. And I think I won 14 straight years. One year, it was the tie when they didn't break the tie. But Derek Jeter had never lost an All-Star game. So Earl has paid me religiously.
Lots of money.
Yes, a lot of money. And this year, we got together, and he was reluctant to bet. He wouldn't bet. So, of course.
You took the National League this time.
No. I said, what do you want? You tell me. Because whatever you take is going to be wrong, so you pick. And he said, no, I'm not going to bet. So, of course, his team wins.
Naturally, they win this year.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
I will still watch probably the baseball All-Star game over the other ones because it does matter a little bit with the home field advantage, but I don't like that gimmick about it. I'm not a big fan because, as Scott was telling me before in a break, I'm not going to try and take credit for what he was saying. You're talking about lineups that, yes, maybe if you kept those lineups all the way through, that would be legitimate to have home field advantage played out by the All-Star game. But if you're playing the 23rd best guy on your team in the bottom of the ninth inning trying to get a run to win the game, I just don't see any merit in that, and I don't see any point in trying to have something as big as home field advantage decided over a quote-unquote break for baseball
players.
They're
trying to make it important. They're trying to give it some relevance. But it's a fans' game. It's what it is.
Yeah.
Fans have elected. They voted for years. Yeah.
Weren't these rosters expanded? And that's one of the reasons I don't think it was as big. There are 83 guys, 84 guys who became All-Stars. You had all of these snubs. When you had Joey Votto was the biggest snub, then you ended up having him, Brandon Phillips, and Scott Rolen all added. But wasn't this to kind of prevent, you guys were talking about the tie. Wasn't it to prevent the ties from happening? What would have happened if the AL tied the game up. They had used everybody except Alex Rodriguez, and there was no place to really put him in that ninth inning. Or if they would have gone into extras,
well,
what would they have done?
Well, the thing is, there really is no way to actually prevent a tie. If you run out of pitchers and it's still a tie.
If the game goes 15 innings, it's going to be a tie. Yeah, they're not going to burn out somebody's arm.
No,
there's
really,
half of the season.
There's really no way that they can prevent that. They just claim that they could.
And, you know, I have a lot of things I could argue with Bud Selig about, and I didn't particularly like the way he handled that. But that's the only decision you can make when you've got managers and general managers
could you
say,
imagine,
our guys aren't going out on the field.
Exactly. Could you imagine if they had decided, no, you know what, you're going to keep that pitcher on the field, and then could you imagine, like, let's say Carlos Zambrano's pitching, right? And
right.
You're just like, nope, sorry, we got to go to extra innings. Carlos Zambrano, sorry, you're going to have to pitch a couple extra innings. And all of a sudden the Cubs at the time go, well, we're paying this guy $40 million. Right? I don't want my $40 million pitcher out on the mound for extra innings when I need to use him for the second half of the season. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
So the way that they do it is fine. I just don't really agree with the idea of having something as big as home field advantage in the playoffs, especially let's say you're a northern team playing a southern team, so to speak. Like, let's say it's the Rangers and the Reds playing. Right? Okay, just hypothetically, it's the first two teams I thought of for some reason. So now you're talking the Reds, if they got home field advantage, now the Rangers have to play four games in cold weather. And so to me, that's a big disadvantage that you're giving somebody because of an all-star game. That doesn't make
sense.
Well, that's not
there's
fair.
No good way to do it. You can say, well, alternate years. They want to know in advance. They don't want to wait until the playoffs are decided and then for hotel purposes. And I mean, they want to book these rooms and get everything set up. From the league standpoint, from administration, for television.
Mm-hmm.
Television calls these shots.
Oh, I'm not saying they're not.
So, you know, when they look at it, they say, we need to know, and now at least we know, hey, we're going to be in a National League city.
And if television is calling the shots, you got to think that there's got to be some sort of change that goes on with the All-Star game, if at least some panic in the front office of Major League Baseball with the ratings that they had this year. Because we've become a society where we don't like to go two straight years having terrible ratings. We become a society, if we see one blip, all of a sudden we've got to change everything about it. And so I can really see Major League Baseball panicking about this.
We have seen television change the face of college football. We have seen it change college basketball to now you're not playing on Thursdays and Saturdays. You're playing 6 nights a week, basically, or 6 days a week because of television. And you know where else you're going to see it? You're going to see it in soccer, believe it or not. Now, everyone said, you know, soccer's got their own thing, and they're above all this. You just watch. When they start
wait
complaining.
Wait until ESPN gets their control
exactly.
about it.
When ESPN starts complaining about the replays and the goals, and now you see Sepp Blatter start to change his tune a little bit, waving that dollar out there.
The one good argument that soccer still has on this whole replay and everything like that is you've got so many leagues around the world that don't have the technology that they can do it that I can see how they can argue, look, we can't do replay everywhere, so we're just not going to have it anywhere. Now, I would fight that for something as
have
big
it where
as the
you
World
can have
Cup,
it.
You have it. Absolutely. But I'm just saying that this is the kind of stuff FIFA does, though. FIFA has always done things like this, where they just find little holes in the argument, and then they just say, nope, we're not going to do it.
That's
that.
Like saying, okay, ESPN isn't going to televise all of these soccer matches around the world, so maybe it shouldn't televise any of them.
Well,
it's the same idea. You don't have to have it be everywhere to have it be good.
Well, and I'm not arguing they shouldn't do it, and we're getting a little off track here, but I'm not arguing that they shouldn't do replay. What I'm saying is I'm trying to say what FIFA is arguing.
Okay,
is
I'm going to tell you that FIFA is not going to be FIFA. It's going to be ESPN up by the time they're done,
and
because television is going to take control of that the way it has everything else.
And I'm not going to argue with that at all. And because TV just has good. I mean, look at the way college football plays on Friday nights now. I mean, what a shame that is.
Right.
To take that away from high school football and have college football games on Friday night and Thursday night and Wednesday night and wherever you can get on TV, that's where you're going to play. And the MAC is one of the most guilty parties of this whole thing because ESPN said, hey, if you want to play, you got to play on Monday night.
But do you blame the MAC?
Heck no.
No. They need
TV
the
money is
they
good
need the money.
TV money is good money.
And those coaches want to be on. They want it for recruiting purposes. They're thrilled with this. They want to play at midnight. They'll play at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you knew things had changed. Bo Schembechler used to tell television what to do. He said, we're playing our games at 1 o'clock. If you want to come and take pictures,
be there.
That's when you be there.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work that way anymore.
No. Big Ten plays at noon and 3:30. That's the extent of it. suck it up and deal with it, because that's the way TV wants it now.
Now, the Michigan-Ohio State game at Michigan has been at noon. They've been able to preserve that. And your homecoming game, you've been able to get a guarantee on that because there's so many related activities. But otherwise...
Well, now you got a lot more night games, and the Big Ten Network has kicked into this right? with a lot more primetime games, which I don't think is a terrible thing for the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten, to a certain extent, loses some exposure because they don't have primetime games a lot of the time. Because when you've got SEC and ACC and Big 12 on at night, mm-hmm. Big Ten's already done playing for the day, and now we've forgotten about them.
Well, not anymore. Not with the Big Ten Network.
I think one of the things you're talking, Dave, I don't think the Big Ten necessarily cares about having that national audience. That's why, like, you don't see as many primetime games. You're right. But I think the Big Ten fans and alums are so loyal that they watch no matter what. But I think that does go into the fact of why the Big Ten isn't that prominent nationally.
But that's, I think they should be aiming to do more national games yeah. and things like that. You
they
have
are.
To. In this
are.
Day and age, if are. You are recruiting, you need to be known nationally.
Now, coaches want the exposure, the athletic directors want the money, schools want to reach their alumni all over the place. You're going to see a lot more.
I mean, that's great that the Big Ten does have its fixed fan base. I'm not arguing that.
You're going to see night football at Michigan Stadium.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Have they ever done that before?
No, never. Never had a night game in Ann Arbor.
Other than maybe if light runs out, if they hit an overtime game or something like that. I don't know if that's
ever
happened.
Well, they've had 3:30 games that have gone.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Later.
But
they've
actual primetime games
never.
At the Big House?
Never.
Mm-mm.
They will. They're going to.
And they need to. The Big Ten in general needs to start doing that. They need to start competing with SEC and ACC by doing things like that.
We'll be back with much more. Give us a call, 393-3700. 393-3700. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.